Good morning, brothers and sisters. I just wanted to say before we look at some scripture, so thankful for the opportunity to worship together like this, aren't you? We come together like this, we can celebrate the Lord, we can sing, we can pray for one another. I'm so thankful for young families that come and bring their children. If the children aren't coming to church today, there won't be any church tomorrow. And so I'm so thankful for that. I am thankful for technology. We had a session at our conference meetings. Casey and Kim and Sherry and I all listened to yesterday about technology reaching people. I'm thankful for technology reaching people. There's a couple in our conference there in Des Moines, and they shared yesterday quite a while. They have 80,000 followers, and so they do church online. And I'm thankful for that opportunity, that they can reach people online. I kind of like to see people face-to-face, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to reach people with the good news online. And we do that the best we can during our first service, too. But I just want to say thank you for coming and being here in person. I think it's important that we come together to worship like this when we can. So thank you for coming. If you were here last week, you heard Casey bring a good word on the natural man. Now, if you don't know what that means too much, that's okay, but you can learn about that by listening online from our webpage or by reading from Romans chapter 8. And as I listened to what he said last week, I knew what I was going to share this week, and I thought, thank you, Lord, these go so well hand in hand to one another. So if you haven't heard Casey's message from last week, I'd encourage you to look it up on the webpage or Facebook, on the church Facebook page, and listen to that and see if that word last week and this week don't go together quite well. I'm going to invite you to turn to Mark chapter 8. And I'm going to be reading a few verses there, the words of Jesus, beginning at verse 34 through 38. And while you're turning there, those of you that have your Bibles, I want to say this. Today's lesson is entitled, "We Don't Get to Go to Heaven on Our Terms." Part 4. Now, some of you have heard some or all of the other parts, but I want to say this about that, because maybe you haven't heard any of them. We're all going to die someday. Okay? Whether we like that thought or not, it's going to happen. Either the Lord is going to return and take his people, not a certain denomination, people that have been surrendered completely to Christ, he's going to take them with him, or we're going to die. We're going to enter eternity one way or the other. It's going to happen. Why do I say that? Because if eternity is real, we need to know how we be part of God's heaven. And the reason I've been bringing this fact back and back and back, we don't get to go to heaven on our terms, is because I continue to encounter people, Casey encounters people, you have encountered people that assume because I'm a pretty good person, I will be in heaven when I die. We hear it all the time. Or the argument, well, I believe in God. I heard that last week. Or the argument Casey heard this week, well, I did my confirmation. The reason I'm taking us through this series, you don't get to be part of heaven on your terms, is because multitudes of people, multitudes, are thinking, I'm a pretty good person, I'll make it. I believe in God, I'll make it. I've had my confirmation or my catechism, I'll be there. Many people are thinking, well, those things are all wonderful and good. Heaven is all about Jesus. What he has done on the cross for all of us, no matter the sin of our past, no matter the sin of our present, we get to be part of heaven because of Jesus. For God so loved the world, he sent us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. That's hell. But have everlasting life. That's heaven. It's all about Jesus. It is wonderful. We need to believe in God. It is wonderful if we get the chance to go to confirmation or catechism or whatever else. It is wonderful if we are a good person. We should be. But heaven isn't about that. Heaven is about what have I done with Jesus. And so, some people might think, and some people might say, well, haven't you got anything better to talk about? And the answer is eternity is pretty important. We're going to live here about so long, and then it's eternity, and it's one place or the other. It's heaven because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross and my complete and surrendered total faith in him, or it's hell. There ain't anything else. And so why do I keep talking about this particular subject? Because there is a lot of complacency and confusion in America that I'm a pretty good person, I'll be there. I don't want us to be complacent if I haven't been born of God. This is not a denominational thing. Well, Jim, I don't know nothing about a Free Methodist. You don't have to. You need to know Jesus. This is eternally important. Let's look at what Jesus said. And then we're going to look at some of what Paul said to kind of connect some dots. And I'm going to say, like Casey said last week, I'm not here to stick somebody or bruise somebody or tromp on your toes. But I am here to help us be aware, am I ready for heaven if today is my last day? Not because I'm a pretty good person either, because I have surrendered my life completely to Christ. I am here to call us to that. In Mark 8, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and a multitude of people. Here's what he said. Mark 8, 34 through 38, New King James Version. And when he called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not done reading yet. But we can gain all the possessions in the world. We can be as rich as Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos and whoever else has got billions. We can gain all of that, and our soul will go to hell if we haven't surrendered to Christ. That's what he's talking about. You can gain it all. You can get titles, and you can get stuff, and you can get possessions, and you can get trophies and awards, and you can get notoriety and popularity. You can get it all. And your soul goes to hell if you haven't turned to Christ and surrendered. That's what he's talking about. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So I ask us this morning, friends, as I have been challenging us in this series, we don't get to go to heaven on our terms, but we can go on his terms. I ask us this morning, do you want to follow Jesus? Because we don't get to be part of heaven if we don't follow Jesus. And when I look at these words of Jesus, I ask myself and I ask us, are we willing to deny ourselves in order to follow Jesus? Are you still with me, friends? That's part of it. Jesus said, you want to be my follower? You're willing to deny yourself because that's what you're going to need to do. He said, you want to be my follower? Then you need to take up your cross and follow. Any of those people listening in that crowd that Jesus spoke to that day, any of them would have known exactly what a cross means. They all would have seen people crucified before Christ because that's the way Rome did things. You don't comply with the Roman law, guess what? We'll put you on display on a cross along the road so the rest of the people will see what it's like to die on the cross. That's what Jesus said. You want to follow me? Then take up your cross. Anybody listening that day would have understood the cross. Anybody that day listening when he said, you've got to take up your cross, would have known I'm on my way to death. Because that's what the cross stood for. And Jesus said to them, you really want to follow me? Then start by denying yourself and be willing and get ready to get your cross. Because that's what it could lead to. And then come follow. I want to say more about the cross, but I don't have time. I want to go to denying ourselves. I want us to understand what he's saying. I want to understand what he's saying. In Casey's message last week, he was talking from Romans 8. I mentioned that already. He was talking about the natural man. And in that, when you read about that, you read that the natural man, Paul is talking about that, you can read it, Romans 8, lives according to the fleshly desires. What I want to do is what I want to do. That's the natural man. It's all about the flesh, the mindset of the flesh, which happens to be hostile towards God, by the way, according to Romans chapter 8. And the mindset of the flesh and the natural man will equal and lead to death. So why do I mention that? Because, quite simply, according to what Jesus said, you cannot follow Jesus and still follow yourself, the natural man. You can't do both. I can't. You can't. We either follow ourself in this pathway called life, or we follow Jesus. It's one or the other. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7? There's two roads. One of them's broad, leads to destruction. One of them's narrow, leads to life. You can't follow them both. It's one or the other. And so Jesus says here, we either deny who we are completely to follow Christ, or we keep following ourselves. What I want. What I want to do. How I want to live. How I want to, what I want to say. We either deny ourselves to follow Christ, or we keep following ourselves. It's one or the other. You can't do both. Now, in an effort to enlighten us a little bit, Casey's going to go back to Romans 8 in time and talk about the natural man, the under law man, and the under grace man. And this fits right along with that. In order for us to be enlightened a little bit about what does it mean to deny myself, I want to point you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn there if you've got your Bibles. What does it mean to deny myself? Take up my cross and follow Christ. What does that mean? What does that look like? In the letter to the church at Corinth, Paul writes this, 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 9, a couple verses, he said this, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church at Corinth. Now stay with me, because it gets heavy here for a couple verses. This is not the word of Jim, this is the word of God. And then it gets better, and I'll bring us through all of it. Stay with me. But I want us to understand what it looks like to walk in the flesh and in the natural man and having not really gotten to that point of denying myself. This isn't the only list in the Bible, by the way, that talks about our past, our before Christ years, our fleshly ways. There's other lists. But this is the one I've chosen today to remind us what it looks like not having denied ourselves yet. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He's not talking about denominations. He's talking about people that haven't realized, I need Jesus. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then he has this long list. I didn't make up this list. I'm just reading it. This is what the Word of God says. Not for condemnation, but to remind us if we're not willing to come to Christ and deny this kind of list and the others, I'm still walking in the natural man. I'm not willing to deny myself because I kind of like the natural man. This list is simply here to enlighten us. God has a better way for the way I used to walk. That's what this list is for. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. I don't think I have to break all that down. I think you know what this means. I hope you do. Nor thieves, nor covetous. America's got a coveting problem. We're never satisfied. We always want more. We're never happy. I've spoken to the missionaries. I've been in third world places. Casey and Kim are going to Africa here shortly this summer. They're happy to have one meal a day. They're happy to be able to worship the Lord under a tree or under a couple of pieces of tin. They ain't worried about air conditioning, I'll tell you that. We're never happy. And Paul throws covetousness in this category. That's a problem when I always want more. Why isn't Jesus enough? And he goes on. Nor drunkards, nor revilers. That means verbally abusive. Nor extortioners. That means swindlers. Paul said, none of these are going to inherit the kingdom of God. If that's my lifestyle, if that's who I am, Paul said, will not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, Jim, that's too judgmental for me. Let me get to the next part because I'm going to get there too. God is holy, brothers and sisters. Amen? God is holy. What does that mean? He is there in the heavenlies, and he's sinless. He's perfect. He's without any kind of dross, and sin cannot come into his presence. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Deal with Jim's sin and yours and the next person. God is holy. And the enemy of our souls has been here ever since the Garden of Eden saying, God's holding out on you. Did he really say, don't do this, that, and the other thing? You want to have some fun, don't you? God is holy, and nothing of sin will enter into his presence. And so when he makes lists like this, and Paul writes it down in the letter to Corinthians or the letter to Galatians, or you read about it in Revelation 21, there's lists. They talk about you're not going to be in God's presence if that's who you are. That's why he sent his son. That's why Jesus beckons us, come follow me. But you're going to have to deny who you used to be. You're going to have to be willing to take up your cross if you want to follow me. It's a good way. It's a narrow path. It's going to lead to life. But you're going to have to deny who you used to be outside of Christ if you ever are planning to be part of heaven. Now, if you don't want to be part of heaven, I guess you don't have to. He does give us that choice. And I know I've encountered people, and I suppose Casey has or he will, say, I don't have any problem going to hell. That's where all my friends are going to be anyway. I assure you, on eternity, apart from the presence of a holy and loving God, is not where anybody wants to be. It was not created for people. Matthew says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. But people who do not get right with God through faith in Christ, then we selected our eternal destination. I'll ask you again. Do you really want to follow Jesus? Because just saying I'm a Christian... I'm a Christian, Jim. I'm as Christian as the next person. I get to church a couple times a year after all, or whatever the rationale I'm using. If I haven't been willing to deny myself and give it all to Jesus, invite him to be Lord of my life, I'm still living for myself. And we can't follow Jesus if we're still following self. I'm not going to talk anymore about 1 Corinthians 6. I don't have time. I spoke about it more on the first service. I just want you to look at that list on your own, whether it's now or again or whether it's later. And I want you to look in Galatians chapter 5 and or turn to Revelation chapter 21. And I want you to see all these categories that the Apostle Paul writes, and the Apostle John writes, all these categories said, you're not going to be part of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Bible is crystal clear for all of us, for all have sinned. So you say, well, Jim, I don't see anything there that I got a problem with. I think I'm in the clear. Then go to Revelation 21 and ask, have you ever told a lie? Because in Revelation 21, it says all liars are going to hell. The point is, we've all sinned to some level. All of us. And assuming I can be part of the kingdom of heaven someday when I close my eyes in death because I've been a pretty good person isn't going to get it done. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Bible says. And so I ask us, when I look at that list, is that still bogging me down? Because if it is, I'm not denying myself, I'm pleasing myself. That's what I want us to look at. I don't have time to do it now, but I want you to look at those lists. And they still bogging me down? Because if that's my lifestyle, Paul is really quite clear, that lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want to say this. I don't have time. I got two more pages of notes, and I don't have time to go over that. But I want to say a couple more things before I quit. Jesus says to his would-be followers, we have to be willing to trust him. You say, well, Jim, I like to have a little fun in my life, and that old rule book, that just tells me I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. You have to be able to trust him. He has your best interest in mind. Amen? You say, well, Jim, he's holding out on me. Yeah, that's what the devil wants you to think. The devil wants you to think, just like he told Eve and Adam in the beginning, he's been telling us ever since, God's holding out on you. You want to have some fun, don't you? God has your best interest in mind, both here and forever. And until we're willing to deny ourselves and who we used to be, we're not following Jesus, we're following self. We don't get to go to heaven on our terms. We go on his terms. And so when I read that list, I'm not here to condemn. I've told you that. Casey said that last week. We're not here to condemn, but we are here to make aware, to enlighten, to encourage people, recognize where are you at in life. Have you denied yourself? Have you trusted Christ? Are you walking with Jesus? I'm not here to condemn when I read a list like that. But I am here to ask us this question. Why do we think we can just live any old way we want to, including what the Bible calls sin? I just read a list, one out of a number. Why do we think we can just live like we want to and we're just fine with God? Why do we think that? Because that's the way the devil would have us think. And that's the way we think. I've heard it 100 times, and maybe several hundred. Well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, she was a pretty good person. She's in a better place now. If we haven't been born of God when we close our eyes in death, we're not going to be in a better place now. Well, Jim, that's a little judgmental. That's a little callous. That's a little hard. Friends, eternity is a long time to be wrong. And either we take this literally, or we throw it out and we do what we want. That's what we're doing in America today, even in the church. We're throwing out what we don't like and we're doing what we want. That is not denying ourselves. That is not taking up our cross. That is still following self, and that won't get it done on that day. I guess I'll just quit. I guess I'll just quit. Jess, you got a plan for music? Praise team, you're going to help us with that? Let me end on a positive. May I end on a positive? When you go back to 1 Corinthians, and you see what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he gives this long, difficult, hard to read, convicting list that gets on our toes. But he doesn't leave it there. What do I mean? I'm saying to us, friends, we don't get to be part of heaven on our terms, but on His terms. When we come to Christ by faith, God, take over. I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. I know Jesus died for me. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb. Take control of my life. I'm going to follow Jesus. When we come to that point, then Paul says this. After he listed that long list of the difficulties of life, then he says this, and such were some of you. Are you hearing me? That's who you used to be. Homosexuals, adulterers, all kinds of things, drunkards, covetous, but you've been washed. When you come to Christ, He said, you were washed. What does that mean? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That's why He died, to deal with our filth, including Jim and every other pastor, priest, pope, and president. He died for the filth of life. But we've got to come to Him, so this is in the past. That's what He says. That's why He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. Hallelujah. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. I say hallelujah. And I'll ask you one more time before we sing. Have you come to Jesus? Are you ready and willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus? Because that's what it's going to take. Denying ourselves, taking up our cross, surrendering our life, committing to Christ, and letting Him lead. That's what He asks of us. We're going to close in prayer, but I want to say this to close. Some of y'all might be thinking, oh, I'm going to have to try harder. That's not what He's asking of us. He's asking us to surrender, just like we just sang. Surrender. Deny ourselves and follow Jesus. When we surrender completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we're not in the journey alone. The Holy Spirit of God is available to help us with whatever used to bog us down. The church is there, supposed to be an ambulance and a hospital for the hurting and the sick, to help when we're bogged down in that stuff. It ain't a matter of working harder. It's a matter of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and letting the Spirit of God help you and the people of God help you. You want to be my follower? Jesus said, then deny yourself and take up your cross and start following. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. You're really, really patient and gracious with us. You're really merciful. And you know the struggles of the flesh. We've all had it of in some fashion or form. Lord Jesus, we hear you. We hear your words loud and clear today. You're inviting us to come follow you. There's no other way to heaven outside of Jesus Christ. You're inviting everyone to come follow you, but you're also challenging us with being willing to walk away from who we had been. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us in our weakness, in our infirmities. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be faithful to the calling you place on our lives to come follow Jesus. Father, I pray today that if there's anybody standing here, sitting here, that hasn't decided about Jesus, aren't sure, are still basing their eternal destination on their being a pretty good person, I pray your Spirit would connect with their spirit and they would get alone with you today and cry out to you by faith, inviting you to come into their life and be Lord, to forgive them of sin and take over. Father God, I pray, do you've done in the past, I pray, do it again. Go with each and every one today. Some are hurting. They've lost loved ones. They're sick. They're going through difficulties. Some have graduated high school. Some have graduated post-secondary. Some are looking towards all kinds of new things. Father, go with each and every one today. Draw us close, help us to be dependent upon you like never before, and help us to be faithful, faithful to you, the one who is absolutely faithful. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.